Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for our panel discussion this morning. We have a full group and we're excited to get going. Let me just remind you, the music you just heard was Blind Boys of Alabama. They have a Christmas show coming up at the Cohoes Music Hall on the 9th and at the Mahawi on the 10th. And we're going to be hearing music from them, from their Christmas album, Talkin' Christmas, with Taj Mahal. Great stuff. And we'll be hearing that as our bumper music this morning. So you can find out more information about those shows by going to Cohoes Music Hall for the show on the 9th and the Mahawi on the show on the 10th. But best yet, we get to hear the music of Blind Boys of Alabama all morning long. So what could be wrong? Good morning, everybody. It is a Tuesday morning. It is the 5th of December, and it's lovely to have you in our company and ours, us and yours. Whatever. I don't know. Something like that. Let me introduce the panel to you this morning. To my left, appropriately enough, Libby Post is here, political consultant, joining us. Good morning. You were here yesterday. You're here today. We're thrilled that you're back.
I'm thrilled to be back. And to my left, which is even funnier,
is J.P. Miller, who is the man behind the Empire Report. How's everything going in your world?
Everything's great. Great to be with you, Joe and Libby.
Excellent. Mike Spain is with us. He is the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper in the Capital Region, and we are thrilled not only that he joins us on a regular basis, but that he is here with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you.
Very nice to have you. What was that?
Mike Spain is the nicest man in the whole world. There is not a nicer man than Mike Spain. That's got to be quite a thing to carry.
Tell him the reason you're saying that today, Alan.
Oh, he sent us his car.
I gave you my car.
He gave us his car. No greater sacrifice is known to mankind than giving WAMC.
I got a new car and I donated my 1999 Volkswagen Passat with 187,000 miles to WAMC, and they got money for it.
Now, this is going to sound like, as Alan would say, a shot, but it's really not.
No.
But when you were late every once in a while, was it because of the car?
No, it was the New York State Thruway. It was never the car.
Wasn't it that toll you had to pay that Frank Ducci put on if you needed to go through Schenectady to get
That was a long time ago, and there is no toll in Schenectady.
Fine. Okay.
Well, we're thrilled. Thank you very much. And, you know, by the way, if you have an extra car laying around and you would like to donate it to the radio station, if you just go to WAMC.org, you can find out how. It's very easy. So thank you, Mike, and thank you to all the people that have given us
It was just a couple
vehicles.
Of clicks, and they came to the house and took it away. It was very
That's
nice.
The amazing thing.
Yeah,
it's,
really
it's,
was,
it's
yeah.
like getting a new windshield in your car. They just come to you. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. Oh, Alan Chartok.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
There's more.
You.
What about me?
You deferred to Mike when you were talking when I started to introduce you. Alan Chartok is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, the cars he's given us. Good morning. How are you?
It's another day.
Good. Is it very warm in here?
It's a little spritzy.
Usually it's
Yesterday
cool, and I wore my
very,
extra layer.
Yeah, well, I have to take care of that during the break.
When I walked in, Libby said, "What stinks in here?"
Yeah, and then we decided it was you.
Really? Is that nice? Is
well,
that
he, he's the one
show?
Who said it's me.
Why can't we all just get along?
We do.
Okay.
It's like dysfunctional family.
All right. Moving on, and pretty damn quickly, I'd add.
Yeah. Go for it.
not quick enough.
All right. I'm going to start with a travel ban story, which is the Supreme Court allows the full enforcement of Donald Trump's travel ban while legal challenges continue. The Supreme Court on Monday granted President Trump's request to fully enforce his revised order banning travel to the United States by residents of six mostly Muslim countries while legal challenges to it proceed in lower courts. It was a victory for the White House, which has seen the courts trim back various iterations of the travel ban, and it bodes well for the administration if the Supreme Court is called upon to finally decide the merits of the president's actions, which am I the naive one here, but it seems to me that's inevitable, isn't it?
It's inevitable. The Supreme Court is going to go with Trump on this. I've known it right from the very beginning.
But they're going to get it again. They'll get the case.
They'll get the case, and they'll say, yeah, you can do it. The real question to me, Joe, is whether or not there is a political cost to be paid by the progenitors. In other words, my sense of it is that the Trump people think that they will be the political beneficiaries of the anti-Muslim, hatred in the country, when in fact, I don't think it's working out that way. Very interesting. I mean, you would predict it, but Trump's numbers keep going down, and for a lot of reasons, but they keep going down. And I've always been the first one to say, let him crack the 30-degree mark, mm-hmm. and he's done. Put a fork in him.
And so I've been seeing stories of people who voted for him who thought there was really going to be some change, and they're recognizing that they're getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, but we're talking now. Joe has set the topic, and he doesn't like it when we get off the topic.
I know, but all I'm saying
and
is you talked
that.
About the 30%, yeah. and I'm just
so
you up there.
I'm not mad at anybody. You're both fine. Go ahead.
On the Muslim ban, I actually think that this is something that Trump ran very firmly on, unlike tax cuts, unlike Obamacare. He ran firmly on the Muslim ban, and I think this is something that, with the Supreme Court giving their stamp of approval, it helps Trump politically. Whether it's right or not is up for discussion, but I think it helps Trump politically.
Can I just say the obvious for a second, which is the collective gasp in this country when that was announced by the presidential candidate Donald Trump was, oh my God, you know, what are you doing? And then since then we've had the videos come out and there's a collective gasp. And for the court to uphold something like this, and I realize it took three or four rounds before they got to the one that is actually legal, but my God.
Well, you said it right there, though, Joe. This is not, per se, a Muslim ban. It is a ban of mm-hmm. immigrants from six countries that are predominantly Muslim and two other countries, Venezuela and North Korea. You know, so it kind of it technically, you know, to the people who want a Muslim ban, this is a Muslim ban. To people like the court who would not allow such a active discrimination like that, they'll allow this passive discrimination because it technically isn't
right.
a Muslim
but
ban.
But we know what it is, right, Mikey?
Yeah, it's a Muslim ban.
Well, I was going to say, exempting travelers from the six countries who had bona fide connections with relatives such as grandparents, aunts, or uncles, or institutions in the United States, those exemptions to the president's order issued in the fall were along the lines of those imposed by the Supreme Court last summer on a previous version of the travel ban. But in an unsigned opinion Monday that did not disclose the court's reasoning, the justices lifted the injunctions which had been issued by federal judges in Hawaii and Maryland. So they did it, but they didn't sign their names to it.
Except that Judge Ginsburg and Judge Sotomayor have said publicly they didn't agree.
Are we surprised?
Yeah.
Well, Joe looked at me, so I thought I should say something.
Yeah, no, that was your cue. Go ahead.
Well, look, this is a philosophy which you should go to the base. The base got me elected, and I'll continue to do that and hope that this country will be divided by hate and by animus and that it'll work for me. That's what it's all about.
That's what he's always been.
And by the way, as he gets more and more people on the Supreme Court and on the federal courts, he's going to have more and more of these kind of victories.
I also think that it helps him with blue-collar Democrats in places like Michigan and Ohio and Nevada, where it may not poll well, But this is something where he came out, he ran firmly on this, and if this was an outrage to voters, he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't have won. I think that that a lot of other issues that's happening with him, like with Roy Moore and tax cuts and other things that we'll talk about, I think are hurting him. But I think this thing with the Supreme Court is a political victory for him.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Joe, but you know, you worry that just one thing, one bombing, one Muslim guy who does something, influences the entire discussion about the millions of Muslim citizens who exist in this country, who are great citizens and who are here.
Who are serving in our armed forces, serving in Congress, et cetera, serving in our life. You know, they're all around us.
Exactly, Mike. I remember one day, how long ago was this? A long time ago now, kids, that I was out in California at an NPR meeting, and I get a call from my then associate David Gillette, who says that they have arrested a guy down our block for Stinger missiles, for selling Stinger missiles in a setup, and you couldn't get on Central Avenue for several blocks because of all of the TV trucks which descended on this place from around the country and from around the state. It was unbelievable. Everybody had it except the guy who was here who didn't look out the door. So that this had happened, and it was amazing.
Boy, you hold a grudge.
Well, I didn't say who it was. Yeah.
So, they're no longer here, so just, you know. So I want to go back to something JP was saying about, you know, you look at the issues that are hurting the president, and you mentioned Roy Moore. So the president endorses Roy Moore yesterday, strongly endorses, and said, "You're my guy." I don't get it.
Okay,
the president endorses it. The Republican National Committee then says that they will open up the purse strings, which they had closed up a few weeks ago. And just in the closing days of this campaign, the voters will go to the polls
a week from today.
That's right, on the 12th of December, and an accused pedophile, an accused child molester, an accused abuser, and with a latest account that came out in an exclusive from the Washington Post last night, who originally broke this story. But what the hell have we come to?
Well, first of all, there's nothing like winning, and I am sure that the president and others have taken a look at those latest polls, which, by the way, are all over the place, but basically showing Moore out front by 3 or 4 points, and that's not enough for the Democrats if you think about it. So Moore's going to win. Secondly, it's looking more and more to me like this president is going to get impeached. One way or another, that somebody is going to bring an impeachment charge against them, particularly if the Democrats prevail in 18 and take the House. So they need another vote. I mean, it's that simple. It's going to be real close in terms of conviction. So that's one reason I think that this is. But mostly, I think the president has taken a look himself. You know, he's got all kinds of problems in terms of his own gropiness, and he's looking down there and he's saying he's going to win, so I may as well be on the right side.
Mitch McConnell says, "I believe the women." Mitch McConnell says, "I believe."
Did say that he did say that.
Okay, but it was as close then as it is. My question is, what really has changed? What really has changed in those opinions?
Is the politics. Is the politics that the guy's going to win, and as Al D'Amato once said, that was then and this is now.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
So that was then and this is now.
Well, the cycles are really rapid speed. And no, that's exactly right. It is the politics. Right now, it's safer to raise a question about whether Roy Moore was guilty of these things. It was 40 years ago, Joe. That's what the president was saying. You know, it's 40 years ago, and, you know, who knows, you know.
Right.
Even if these women sound credible, so does Roy Moore. And, you know, we need the vote, so I'm going to believe Roy
Moore. And the most brilliant thing, Mike, that Roy Moore is doing right now is saying, I didn't do it. Now, we know he did it, but that doesn't mean he's saying, I didn't do it. The president of the United States lies, and he says, that's not me on that tape.
That's right.
And so that's all that the people behind him need to know in order to say, okay, then that's all right. He said he didn't do it.
But what kind of rabbit hole are we going down now where a child molester can be elected to the U.S.
fairness.
Senate where the an accused child
molester. Well, you can say accused fairness. All you want, in all fairness. But the
he hasn't been tried. We have to say that.
What were you saying, Libby?
You know, the fact of the matter is that this is just an extension of putting politics over people. And this is about maintaining some sort of a majority, as slim as it's going to be.
But this tells me we don't care about anything.
They don't, Joe. They don't. They only.
Who are we talking about? They.
Trump, the GOP, the people who want to maintain their power, regardless. You know, the Roy Moores of the world. They don't. I mean, look at that tax bill. Okay, they passed a tax bill that they know it's going to hurt the rank and file of this country. They know it's going to, but they don't care because their donors said, we want this.
But that's politics.
But so is this.
Okay,
this is
I agree with you,
politics,
but it's also right and wrong. It is an accused child molester.
I get it. I understand what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. But these people, this is the Groper and Old Perverts party now. These are people.
That's good. That's good.
I thought about this.
Oh, man.
Right. Okay.
Nice.
You need
to cut the commercial.
Okay. A guest column good. In the Empire Report.
Right. Yeah. Fine. I'll do that for you. But the thing is that this is about women challenging men. And I know I sound like, you know, a harpy or somebody who keeps talking about the same thing, but this
you
is the reality.
Like a harpy.
It's sexism, it's male power over women. This Groper and Old Perverts party wants to maintain that power. The people who are their base wants to maintain that power.
I agree with you
so
up to
they
a
don't
point.
Care. They do not care if women were molested.
In 12 seconds that we have left, though, most people that are polled in Alabama said they would rather vote for an
because
accused
of abortion.
Child.
Because of abortion, because Jones is pro-choice.
Okay, so you can abuse the children, you just can't
right.
abort
the fetus. Want to make sure that they come out so that they can be abused.
I don't agree.
We'll be back after this and we'll disagree.
Okay.
Shopping is all over, and the stores are now closed. Presents under the tree, what's inside them, no one knows. Christmas is so exciting for every girl.
Biden Boys of Alabama, and they are going to be performing at the Mahawi on the 10th. And where was it on the 9th, Liz? The Cajos Music Hall. That was it. The Cajos Music Hall on the 9th, the Mahawi on the 10th. Liz sent me an email, but I think I absentmindedly deleted it. Anyway, good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Libby Post is here, J.P. Miller, Mike Spain, and Alan Chartok. We have letters, and let us go to those as we... you wanted to say something, sir.
Yes, and then I'll read your letters. But here's what. We always have to remember, as an analytical group, to distinguish between what is and what is happening and what we think, you know, in terms of our personal feelings about Trump. What is happening in Alabama is it's Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you got to remember. And you have to understand the way that the system works. So sometimes we argue at cross purposes around here as to what we think is terrible and what is happening, you know, as a social scientist might look at it.
I disagree with you.
Ah! How dare you?
I disagree with you on two fronts. One is wrong whether you're in Alabama, Wisconsin, or New York. Wrong is wrong. Child abuse and having sex with a child, with an underage kid, is abuse no matter where you are. So that's just wrong.
I hope I'm going to get to answer this. The answer is you don't disagree with me. The fact is
Let me just go to your second point, which is about this is just Alabama. I would go with that, except that this country and an electoral majority voted for President Trump, who again strongly accused of being a sexual predator.
Right. Now, the difference between is and ought to be is what we're talking about here. You're certainly not going to get me to say that I don't agree with every word you just said, because of course I do, and I've been saying it all along. What I am also saying is, in order to understand this politically, then you have to understand what forces are at work. We do understand that. We do understand that Alabama is a Republican state, and that by having the Republican guys come out and endorse. So we don't disagree at all, Joe. Substantively, we agree. But in terms of analyzing the process as to what's happening, we better just understand it in order to combat it.
Just let me say, you keep going back to Alabama and that it's just wrong. And he's right. But in Alabama, Roy Moore could have married one of his 14-year-old girlfriends as long as he went and asked the parents for permission.
And in New York.
But not anymore.
Well, they just did it six months ago. Yeah. Politically, I think this is bad for the Republicans. This is a single Senate seat that we're talking about.
It's true.
And Trump is coming out and endorsing. And Mitch McConnell is giving a signal that he's endorsing. And if I was advising Trump, I would say, be silent on this. Let the voters of Alabama decide. We know this is a bad guy. But politically, now that Trump has come out, the entire Republican Party is going to be allowed to be painted with a brush of...
Allowed
of the Gropers and Old Pervers Party.
Yes.
They already are.
They went in and said, "All right, well, now that you're doing it, we'll do it too.
Yes.
Now that you're supporting him, we'll give them money again. We'll give the campaign."
JP says, you know what you said, and it's really on the money. But you have to remember that he is incapable, Trump, of not thinking he has an opportunity to win something. And here he takes a look at this and he says, I want to be on the winning side, and I don't give a damn how it paints the Republican Party for the rest of the country.
I think this is on his part, though, penny wise and pound foolish. The penny is the Senate seat. Why does he not go for the pound? I mean, this is a really tough issue for women voters across the...
He'd be such a hypocrite if he spoke out against Roy Moore.
Are we talking about Trump?
Yeah. Yes.
Because he doesn't understand politics. He doesn't understand the penny wise and pound foolish. He doesn't understand that. He only understands one thing, and that's winning.
Exhilaration of winning and being on the winning side.
Right.
I agree. But you know, what's going on, Alan, you said it before. What's going on is in Alabama there's politics, and the politics have been able to obscure the allegations against Roy Moore, fog them up, and make this about something else. Make this about states' rights. Make this about, I'm not going to do what people across the country want me to do. I'm going to vote for my guy. And it's about protecting the Republican majority. You know, they've been able to effectively obscure the issues in this when it's a real moral question. This is a real moral question, and they've been able to evade that and make it look like it's something else. It's about something else. And it's not.
I don't get how, though, this guy isn't even, you know, people that are elected, John Conyers and Al Franken, are getting crushed on this, and somehow Roy Moore, it's like, it didn't happen, no big deal.
It fits because we are now hearing that the President of the United States cannot commit a crime while he's in office.
Right. Well, that's another discussion.
Well, it is another discussion, but it does fit with all of this. So Al Franken and everybody else, they're not president, and they don't have their people making the rule that anything they do is not censurable or because they're president of the United States.
But you have men and women in this country who are supporting...
That's right.
Not only the president,
but they're supporting Roy Moore.
Well, yeah, but they're justifying. I mean, they're rationalizing it. They're saying, well, there's some confusion.
You can't rationalize.
They don't want to look at the facts, Joe, because if they look at the facts, then they're going to have to deal with it. They just sort of listen to the rhetoric and say, well, women say this, Roy Moore says this, and we need that seat in the Senate.
And so, let me just say one more thing, and yeah. I want Libby's opinion on this, but it is true, I think, that a lot of women support Roy Moore.
Definitely.
The Republican governor of Alabama is a woman, and she said, I'm going to vote for him. I don't care because he's anti-choice. It comes down.
She said, I would rather vote for Roy Moore than a Democrat.
Right. But the reason is because of choice. It's because of abortion. And so what you have here is this confluence of not conflicting, but all of these different, I don't know what you would call them, but lines of thought that are all working in his favor. On one hand, you've got the Republicans who just want to maintain the seat because they're a slim majority and they know they're facing an uphill battle in 2018. On the other hand, you're in a state where the evangelical Christians are so powerful and their modus operandi, their ethos, is to make sure that women are subservient to men. They raise their women to be that way. They raise their women to go and get married at 15, 16, 17
Not
years
all
old.
Women.
That's a pretty broad brush.
I'm sorry,
people
Mike,
who are evangelical Christians are a very broad bunch of people.
I'm talking about the radical Christian right, the folks that... Mike Pence comes out of, but that's what we've been. But people have been making these distinctions between evangelicals and the rest of the Christian world a lot lately because it's the evangelicals who are putting out this stuff. You know, the people like the Dugars and all that sort of stuff. So, and I can get into some other ways of the way they think. I won't. But the fact of the matter is, you have this confluence of keeping women subjugated, and that's what it's about, and not believing women.
But you also have women who, dare I say this, who are willing to go along with it.
No kidding.
And who think, okay, man, that is my place.
Look, there were women with T-shirts on at Trump rallies with arrows pointing down saying, grab this. That doesn't mean
there has been?
Oh, yeah. There were pictures of that all over. Yeah. These are women who are incredibly male-identified and think
they
of the world through...
They need psychiatric help.
Yeah. they think of the world through a very male-identified
lens.
Now
you told Mike what I was getting him for the holidays.
Oh, sorry.
Nice, Mike. But you know what he just said?
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I know. He's such a down-home-spun kind of guy.
Great guy.
Yes. But that's what we have. We have women who are buying into this stuff.
All right. Let's
go to letters or not?
Yeah, let's go to the... But by the way...
What? No, no, I want to hear it.
I'm not. I just find this all very, very troubling. The civilization is ending as we know it. But hyperbole. But people are still saying that... we're getting letters of saying, but yes, you can marry in Alabama. You still can't abuse a child in Alabama.
Right.
You still can't... They weren't marrying. They weren't going to the Orange Julius and the mall and getting married. No, he was picking him up, bringing him home, getting him drunk, and having sex with them.
You can get married at the Orange Julius at the mall? Is it like Vegas?
It's like Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Orange Julius. I loved it before I couldn't have it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Roy. Okay, so Matt says, somewhere Anthony Weiner is asking, really? I like it. Really. Our wonderful Stacy, Perry Rosenberry, goes out and sees something outside which is unreportable on the radio right here, and she turns around to the offenders and she says, really? Oh. Don't you get it?
Yes.
Okay, so Tim says, all right, to my mind, Roy Moore's conduct towards young women is reprehensible and should disqualify him from election in the Senate. What is being left out of the discussion is Moore's twice being removed from the Alabama court. We've talked about that many times. For failing to follow the rule of law. I find his mindset in this regard chilling. Right. Okay.
But you got to remember, people in Alabama support his anti-homosexual rhetoric, and they also support him bringing the Ten Commandments into the courthouse. They look at it as a religious prerogative.
Does anybody remember George Wallace?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, honest to goodness.
I mean, he is...
In order to understand the true spirit of the state, You got to remember Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ben says, the president, a la dictator, is above the Constitution and the law? Question mark. Kill someone in Times Square? Kill millions in Southeast Asia? Get his finger off the nuclear button, says Ben. All right. Let's see here. Steve says, I've been a Republican since I can remember. I also graduated from the same business school as the Donald, so my Republican leanings run deep. I can't possibly list all the reasons the Republican Party now disgusts me. It would take the rest of your show. My question, when the Senate goes back to the Democrats, including with my own vote next year, can this tax law be easily repealed as a first step in repairing the country? And it's from Steve. But Steve, what I don't get in your numbers is that clearly you're writing from New York State. See what I mean? Don't you see? If no. You're writing from New York State and you say he's not going to get elected because of my vote,
no,
that's
I think
not
he's
a vote
saying
in Alabama.
He's going to be voting next year in 2018,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
but
he might live
in the either the
not
Faso
according
district
to,
or
not according to his email address right here, Mike.
Well, it could be Faso's district or it could be Stefanik's district.
What's the end of it?
In the capital region.
Well, that's all there was. Okay.
Yeah, it can be. He could be either one.
I have to read a few the long way. Our wonderful Roberta, who is
you
such
want to
a...
give the listeners home address, by the way?
Thank you very much. Thank you
to Roberta, one of our great listeners and persons. Judge Moore, abusing your girls? I believe it's called pedophilia. The RNC and the man in the stained house endorse pedophilia. That's what it's called. That's from Roberta. Arg. Okay.
I agree, Roberta.
What change, says George from Pennsylvania. Panel, what change is that Roy Moore saga is that the other senators were charged with sexual misconduct? We can thank Al Franken for allowing Alabama voters to say if Al did it and stay in the Senate, why can't we allow our boy to enter that groping club? That's the equation.
Different,
folks.
Different, yeah,
like
different, different, different. It is different. It is different.
Well, of course it's different. The problem is there's somebody, it's not you, Joe, and it's not, you know, people like you or me. What it is are people in the so-called middle who could go either way. And the letter writer is correct that is one of the arguments that is being used.
It helps them rationalize it. They don't want to look at the specific details and debate all the facts. They just want to have some excuse. Oh, well, they did it, therefore he can do it. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's just rationalization.
And okay, and we've heard from
erroneous or rationalization.
Oh, I mean it's false. I mean it's
yes.
Based on a false premise. But it's
well, you're on fire today, Joe. But again, again, Mike and I want to point out, don't we, Mike?
Right. We planned it this way, Joe.
I know.
We want to point out that it is not that we don't agree with you about the reprehensibleness of this. It's just that we understand the politics and the way that it's being played. That's what a great journalist
would say, and a fine political scientist
would say.
We as a culture, we as a society, we as a people, if you allow this, you it seems to me that you are permitting something and going down a very, very, very dark road.
Joe, nobody's arguing with you about
that. All right. Well, then
nobody's
let's just stop there.
No, but nobody's arguing with you. It's just that it's important to figure out why he won, why Trump won, number one, and what are the ramifications of the way that he's proceeding now for future elections? That's what a political scientist or a journalist would do. Okay. Somebody says, I don't think they want their name on here, the Muslim ban is worthless. All terrorists on 9/11, the shoe bomber, the Times Square bomber, were Saudi and Egyptian nationals. These two countries are not included in the ban. The nations have never sent a terrorist to our shore. Absurd.
Right. Just check out to see what the business connections are between Trump and his cronies and Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Doug in Woodstock, I think Trump is just giving his base who elected him what they want. It's his only path to re-election in 2020. That's right.
It's red meat.
That's right. Great show, as always, says Doug in Woodstock.
Let us pause there. We will go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue with the letters and the conversation. We'll be back right after this.
You will see people hanging decorations, start putting up
a special kind of tree. They'll take the tree and place it before a window so that all that pass they can see. They'll be hanging up the lights. Somebody else might be brushing.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's great hearing from the Blind Boys of Alabama performing at the Cohoes Music Hall on the 9th. And on the 10th, they'll be the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Libby Post on the group this morning. And they make up the group this morning. And we go back to letters.
Mike says, perceptively, worth mentioning that President Trump would like to have a Republican Senate seat in Alabama for any impeachment vote. You are right, Mike. It is worth mentioning, and I did.
Right.
Already.
You did.
But it's great for you to reinforce that. And Libby is right, says Maureen. Good morning, panel. You were very quick to tell Libby she's wrong about what she's saying about women being married off young and being trained in docility. Is that right? Docility?
Being docile.
Yeah, I know that,
and
but
submissive.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think
that's
docility,
right.
Yes.
She is correct! Exclamation mark. You all need to listen to her. What, you think we're not listening to her? Every state allows exceptions to the defined ages of consent in marriage. If your parent gives permission, you can be married off at 15 or 16 or
that's
younger.
That's not the point.
What's the point?
I just think it's a predator. There's plenty of evidence.
That is child abuse.
There was plenty of evidence that he was a predator when he was in his mid-30s working as in a district attorney's office down in Alabama. He was going to the mall. He was banned from the mall because he was going after teenagers.
Banned from the mall. So the
That's
mall,
a fact.
So
That's
mall,
a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
So banned from the mall. So what you're saying is that the mall has a stricter code of conduct than the U.S. Senate.
Sure. Like what
Absolutely.
They
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure,
essentially, like that's right.
Because getting elected at the mall.
Yeah, you can shoplift at the mall and just, you know, put cash in your pocket. But
sure, like when the mall told that guy you can't have peace on earth, goodwill towards men on his T-shirt that he bought in the mall. Come on, it's enough to go around. Okay, so that's good. From Libby is right. I love that from Maureen. And then Saudi Arabia, says Michael. No travel ban from Saudi Arabia. Huh? From which the 9/11 hijackers come from? Question mark. Trump doesn't offend his bosses. Ooh, Michael. Okay. Then Mike says, Deep Throat told Bob Woodward to follow the money. Bob Mueller has taken that advice to heart. He has issued subpoenas to Deutsche Bank for financial and credit records of the Trump companies. Many of them have believed that Donald Trump's love affair with the Russians is rooted in his tech. Oh, I see. Now I get it. Many have believed that Donald Trump's love affair with the Russians is rooted in his tax returns and bank accounts. And that's from Mike in Glens Falls, otherwise known around here as Glen Falls. Okay, and here we go to Larry, who says, Note that the FBI opened its investigation on possible Russian collusion and other nation security matters in July 2016 before Trump became president. Subsequent witness tampering to cover up possible crimes is not within the purview of the president. What does that mean, not within the purview of the president?
That might be getting into the whole issue that we'll probably discuss after the break.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Dear far-thinking panel, comes from Skip in Glenmont. Where will this February, dear fair-thinking panel, where will this February's Winter Olympics be held? Just asking.
Oh, in South Korea. Isn't it?
The Winter Olympics?
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it's in South Korea. Is he making a point that it's in South Korea and North Korea is right next door and there might be some political ramifications?
Yeah, I could see those tickets not being the most valuable of any Olympic Games.
You haven't signed up for yours yet?
Not yet, no. I wouldn't go there, would you?
No. Hell, I wouldn't go anywhere.
It's hard to get them to Connecticut for
you know, it's going here, home in New York, and that's it.
So, where do we think when? So we have a week to go to the election of Roy Moore, and we have. I mentioned the story in the Washington Post today about another woman coming forward. Does it matter? I mean, I don't know. Does it matter?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, people are overwhelmed with information about it, and they may just sort of hunker down and not go to the polls. And it might. It depends who comes out. As Alan was saying earlier on his commentary, it depends who comes out on election day.
Is there a credible third-party write-in? I heard a week or two ago that there was a Republican write-in candidate. Is that person credible? Are we hearing more about him
or not?
I
haven't heard a word about
it. And not polling, right? Right? I mean, and not showing up in the colonel, and not showing up in the polling, from what I understand. But if it was credible, it could have.
You know, there's another conspiracy theory here, and that is that the Republicans are going to let Roy Moore get elected, doing what they're doing by sort of backing off from their criticism and allowing some money to go down there, and then they're going to come on him strong. Not admit him to the Senate, get him kicked out, and then appoint Jeff Sessions back to his old seat. I mean, that could happen.
Yes.
Sessions says he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, but he might be forced to by POTUS.
Or by Saturday Night Live.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have letters, we have other topics, and a lot to get to. But most importantly, we have Ray Graff with the news. We'll be right back.
Shiny high heel shoes.
You don't know what Christmas is about.
When you see someone in need, you ought to get down on your knees.
You don't know what Christmas is about.
If you see somebody sad, you ought to try to make them glad.
You don't know what Christmas is about.
You sure don't know.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday morning, the 5th of December. Our panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. The brazen assertion Monday by one of President Trump's lawyers that a president cannot be found guilty of obstruction of justice signaled a controversial defense strategy in the wide-ranging Russia probe, as Trump's political advisors are increasingly concerned about the legal advice he is receiving. This from the Washington Post. Trump tweeted over the weekend that he knew then National Security Advisor Michael Flynn lied to the FBI in his contacts with the Russian ambassador before firing him in February. This gets convoluted, so stick with me here. And before FBI Director James Comey said Trump asked him to be lenient while investigating Flynn, experts said the president's admission increased his legal exposure to obstruction of justice charges, one of the core crimes under investigation by the special counsel Robert Mueller.
Sounds right.
But Trump's personal lawyer, John Dowd, sought to excuse the president's tweet in part by telling NBC News and Axios on Monday that the president cannot obstruct justice because he is the chief law enforcement officer under the Constitution's Article 2 and has every right to express his view on any case. Dowd declined to elaborate on his theory or explain the emerging legal strategy to the Washington Post. Inside the White House, some senior officials were baffled that Dowd publicly offered this interpretation of the law, which has been advanced since the summer by constitutional scholar Alan Dershowitz in defense of Trump, but flatly dismissed by other legal scholars. So a lot there. Let's just start with what's up with Alan Dershowitz?
That's what I wanted to know this morning. It's like he's been taken over by something. Maybe he nobody else was putting him on TV except Fox.
The body snatchers.
You got it. He is like the president in that he just needs to be the focus of attention.
You know, I fully respected him when he was defending OJ, but now I just have trouble.
I think he just likes to be be on the air.
Yeah, I think that he's. I mean, you know, he's done some crazy political stuff the last few years on a host of issues, and I'm like, you know, the respect that I had for the man is gone. Well,
okay, but in truth, though, in fact, is what he's saying accurate? I guess, and that's the question, right?
Well, yes, that's right.
I mean, also, as pointed out yesterday, I believe on Anderson Cooper's program, this was the strategy used by Richard Nixon.
Right.
After he resigned from office,
right.
But it didn't really work out for him too well, so why do this?
Well, wait a second. You are right about one thing. You're right. When Nixon offered this kind of a defense, the only reason that Nixon left office was not that he was going to get indicted. He wasn't going to get indicted.
That's right.
It was that he was going to get impeached. And there is a common sort of wisdom floating through the air, which I've never accepted, that what comes first is love and marriage, can't have one without the other, is impeachment comes first. And then when you're impeached and out of office, they can indict you and they can try you. I happen to think it's ridiculous. I always take it to the extreme, which is...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lou.
This is a good example, though.
Yeah, it's a good example. You take a gun and you kill somebody. You kill a member of your family. You kill somebody else. You murder them. Does that mean you can't be indicted when you've done it in full sight of everybody? So you take the extreme and then you bring it down to here. So I don't think this has ever been defined. I was watching CNN, I think, this morning, or maybe Morning Mike or whatever his name is. Morning
Joe.
Joe, yeah.
Joe. He's our Morning Mike.
Yeah, that's right.
And well, I'm your morning Joe, I hope.
You are.
Thank you.
And they're saying it's commonly accepted that you can't indict a sitting president. I don't think it's ever been defined.
Right. It would, if a grand jury were to hand up an indictment that accuses a sitting president of a felony, obstruction of justice.
Yeah,
or whatever.
But obstruction of justice. I mean,
right.
I thought that was
the point here. Right.
Right.
It remains to be seen whether that would hold and what the Supreme Court would do. But you're right. If a court could have enough evidence that he had done something that constitutes otherwise obstruction of justice, I think it would be up to the Congress to first impeach him,
and then
Pence to pardon him.
Yeah. So somebody was quoting the Federalist Papers this morning, in which at least one of the Federalists makes the point: says first you got to impeach, and then you can.
That's only guidance, though. That's not in the Constitution. It's good guidance.
So this is what Alan Dershowitz said on Fox and Friends.
What?
Let me just have that stand in the air for a second. You cannot charge a president with obstruction of justice for exercising his constitutional power to fire Comey and his constitutional authority to tell the Justice Department to investigate who to investigate, who not to investigate. That's what Thomas Jefferson did. That's what Lincoln did. That's what Roosevelt did. We have precedents that clearly establish that.
That sounds pretty strong.
Well, for Dershowitz, I mean, you know, unlike the rest of you, I've had Dershowitz sitting in my living room, and I know what the arrogance factor, is here. It's pretty arrogant.
Trump's.
Well, I don't mean to.
You have interviewed him.
I've interviewed. I don't mean to argue with you, but I think, regardless of whether he's in your living room or not, you can tell that he's arrogant.
Go ahead, Libby.
But the thing is that what he is saying and what the other lawyer Dowd is saying and the 30% is saying is that Trump is above the law. And I'm sorry, but no one in this country should be above the law.
I agree with you.
Including the president.
I agree with you about should. I think that in practice, though, it's hard to indict a president, and that there is certainly precedent for that. And the lawyers are basically not admitting, but they're giving the signal that he did obstruct justice, but you can't indict him for
that's
that.
Right.
That you should really... elect a Congress that will impeach him. The other thing that I think is interesting about this so far is that we are talking about obstruction of justice, which it seems like there might be a case building for that, but no collusion with Russia. They still don't think that there was collusion with Russia.
I don't know that they don't think that. They have not proven that, and what happened to Michael Flynn does not in any way prove that. I agree. But there's still a lot of investigations going on.
Right.
As Libby was pointing out, you have Mueller, who is now subpoena in the Deutsche Bank, and they're looking at the money trading. They're following the money, as Bob Woodward was advised to by Big Deep Throat in Watergate. I mean, a lot has still got to come out, but no proof of collusion with Russia has come out.
So, Libby, I want to ask you a question. I want to make sure I get your mindset. And that is that if Bill Clinton had been caught lying to the FBI, he would have been indictable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people have gone back and forth about Bill Clinton, and yes, he was a predator. I thought he was a much better president, but you know, and he like many people, are able to compartmentalize things, and so he put Monica Lewinsky over there, and it was an occasional whatever.
No, but I wasn't talking about Monica Lewinsky.
But lying,
yes.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Yeah,
that wasn't under oath statement.
The definition of what is. I mean, you know, all of that stuff. But if he was found guilty by the FBI, then yes.
No, he doesn't get found guilty by the FBI.
Well, you know what I mean.
Indicted,
but if he was indicted, or you know, basically to answer your question, I liked him as a president, as a person. You know, he could be.
How much do you think Cobb? How much do you think Cobb and Dowd know? They kept on saying yesterday that they believe that the investigation will be over by Christmas in January. That doesn't seem.
I think that's spin.
Possible
that's,
at all.
That's just spin.
Spin is exactly
it's all
right.
It is.
They can't know.
But I don't even know how you could rationally think that in 2 weeks they were going to wrap up this thing that's been going on for a year that is so far reaching.
Well, Trump all along makes predictions that turn out to be not right.
Right.
So he says, for example, we have this health care bill. It's going to pass. There's no question it's going to pass. It didn't pass. So you say it in order to give a little muscle to the to the thing. You want some more letters, Joe?
Sure.
Okay. And so Bob from Albany says, it's not just Dershowitz. John Yoo's op-ed citing the Federalist Papers in the Times today, which I've just mentioned, makes a cogent argument that impeachment, not criminal indictment, is the way to go. Yeah, this Republican Congress and this speaker, Republican Speaker of the House and Republican President of the Senate are going to impeach this guy? Forget about it. That
could be changed in 12 months, though. And this stuff, this investigation could go on for 12 months. And after 12 months, we could have a Democrat Congress and a Democrat Senate.
Yep.
With Trump's approval rating where it is, we could easily have a Democrat Congress and Senate.
Just in the
waning moments.
In the issue, when it comes to self-promotion, coming up on the program later on, we're going to be talking to, and this was taped last week, so it's before these particular questions came to the fore. But Cass Sunstein, who is a Harvard professor and a constitutional scholar, has written a Citizen's Guide to Impeachment, and we'll be talking to him about the articles of impeachment and how that works.
That's interesting.
And how it, quite frankly, how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. It'll be good education.
Yeah. So go ahead, Alan.
This stuff goes on, and during every one of these crises, Joe Brody, who's the chair of our board, and I wrote a similar treatment when Nixon was up there. We didn't get it published. Anyway, Stephen says, Trump, I just grabbed them by the Constitution. They let you do that when you're president, unquote.
I like that. That's good.
Mr. Brown says, the NCAA should threaten to ban University of Alabama from any postseason football championship football games if Moore is elected. Hit them where they care.
But that's assuming that everybody in Alabama supports Roy Moore. Let's just remember that it'll be a very close election, and there'll be a lot of good people who vote the right way.
I'm thinking of a thousand things I could say back to that, because you're right. I mean, you know, you can't blame everybody in Alabama, but could you have blamed the, German citizenry during the Second World War? And let it, you know, and say, well, we can't really proceed because of the good ones who are there.
If Auburn makes those playoffs, you know, a lot of people around the country are going to want to see that.
And Pete says, would it be possible to boycott good services from Alabama? Money is the only thing that catches attention. Well, it certainly worked in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
it was helpful, but they didn't. They still have a bad law,
and it took a long time.
Well, right. Does that mean you shouldn't do it?
No.
But there are still plenty of people who are.
I don't know what the remedy is if they elect Roy Moore as the Senate and they seat him in the Senate. What's the remedy? By punishing the entertainment.
Yeah, punishing states and having like a national backlash to a democratically elected senator, I think, helps those type of senators get elected in the future. It's part of their message.
It just drives the wedge deeper. I agree. It's counterproductive.
Professor Gottlieb says, interesting moral question, but was going to war in Iraq in 2003 justified if Saddam was a bad person, or are all moral questions comparative? Profound. That's something to think on.
Good, Steve.
Yeah. And Brian says, in Alabama, even with parental consent, the youngest that one can marry is 16. Several of Roy Moore's accusers were 15 or 14. There is no conceivable defense of his actions. And that's what I've got, Joe.
All right. So let's move on then to another subject and find out, talk about other things that are happening in the news. It's hard to believe that there are other things happening, but indeed there are. Let us talk about this story. And I still don't quite get this one, but the president has slashed the size of Bears Ears and the Great Staircase monuments. He was out west yesterday and announced that he was sharply reducing the size of two national monuments in Utah by some 2 million acres, the largest rollback of federal land protections in the nation's history. The administration shrank Bear Ears National Monument, a sprawling region of Red Rock Canyons, by 85%, and cut another monument, Grand Staircase Escalante, to about half its current size. The move, a reversal of protections put in place by Democratic predecessors, comes as the administration pushes for fewer restrictions and more development on public lands. The decision to reduce Bears Ears is expected to set off a legal battle that could alter the course of American land conservation, putting dozens of other monuments at risk and possibly opening millions of preserved public acres to oil and gas extraction, mining, logging, and other commercial activities. Some people think that the natural resources of Utah could be controlled by a small handful of very distant bureaucrats located in Washington, Mr. Trump said, speaking at Utah State Capitol beneath a painting of Mormon pioneers. And guess what? They're wrong. Meanwhile, we have the native land question here. We have a great concern about the rollback of protection of federal land and what precedent this does send, although it does seem at least in one of these cases that we're headed to for a fairly long court battle.
To say nothing of Lisa Murkowski out there in Alaska saying, okay, let's drill, baby, drill.
That's right.
Yeah, that was politically expedient. Yeah, I think one of the biggest reasons that Trump did this was because these lands were set aside by Clinton and Obama.
Sure.
It's why he named somebody other than Janet Yellen, who was perfectly good, doing a perfectly fine job that most Republicans and conservatives agreed with. She was appointed by Obama. He's just trying to erase anything good that those administrations did.
Which is what those administrations do a lot of times when they take over from Republicans. The same thing is erase what the previous administration does. But I think that Trump went here to support Orrin Hatch. He does not want Mitt Romney to be the next senator in Utah. He went and he said something. Quoting a little bit, but he said something like, Orrin Hatch is a fighter, and there are other people that we thought were fighters but didn't turn out to be fighters. And so he really does not want Romney to be the next senator in Utah. Trump is extremely popular in Utah. I couldn't believe when I heard that he has a 70% approval rating in Utah. It's hard for me to believe, but he does, and this move that he made, while may not be popular throughout the country on these lands, is a very popular issue for people in Utah.
Well, shut my mouth.
That's very insightful. When is it going to be decided whether he's going to leave the Senate?
Well, Orrin has told a lot of people that he wants to retire, but you know about senators, when they get in power, they don't want to leave. And the question is whether Romney would primary Orrin Hatch. There's talk of whether that might be a possibility, and I think that Trump is trying his best to have Orrin Hatch be the senator, because he would likely be a much more favorable senator than
Romney's very popular still, though, in Utah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. I don't understand why you couldn't have done that and gone out and supported Orrin Hatch without taking all away the federal protections
of
the land.
Not his style. I know. I don't get it either. It's not his style.
It doesn't seem like that has to be the bonus feature, does it?
No.
All right.
Unless, Joe, of course, the people of Utah want those acres back.
It is very popular in Utah, yes.
All right.
What he did.
Let us end there. My thanks to our wonderful panel, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Mike Spain, Alan Chartok. Thank you all very much. Great to have you here. And we always welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. We'll be back right after this.